Good evening, listeners. And you're back listening to another Nick Elliott podcast show. And it's January the 6th, 2025. And I'm joined by no other than the legend, radio presenter, that is Chris Moore. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Nick. And we made it. We made it.
We did.
We are through 2024 and we're in 2025 and we survived Christmas. How about that?
Bloody hell.
And the new year.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you do much?
What, on the new year?
Yeah.
Or both?
No, new year.
New year, I went to bed, mate. 10 o'clock.
No wrong with that.
I just don't see the big deal of it.
No, nor me.
I don't. I got woken up at midnight by the fireworks, of course. I look at them for a few minutes, then I'm back to sleep.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, it's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not one for New Year's Eve celebrations at all.
No, I'm not, man. I've never really been bothered about that.
I was in my student days. I used to love a New Year's Eve party.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. Or say, perhaps the secondary school days, and all us pupils got together, we'd have a bit of a naughty party.
Naughty parties.
But it was fun, that type of thing. But nowadays, Nick, no, New Year doesn't do a thing for me.
No, nor me, no. I've never been a fan, in all honesty, and all this Happy New Year, never could get the...
Do you like the old Lang Syne business?
No, it's horrid.
I was going to say it gives me the willies, but that's the wrong expression, isn't it?
Well, you can use but that it, expression you on, can,
you,
on here.
You don't mind, do
you? Not at all. You can say whatever you want on
but
this
damn show. But
it
did. Embarrassing, really. And then the mistletoe thing. Don't like that.
No?
Do you like it?
No. Kissing strange women.
No, men. No, it doesn't matter. No, I don't like it either.
That's not
I don't
what
know
my
the way they hand the, you know, hang it above there. You're obliged, aren't you? So, if you're a great aunt so and so.
Oh. Yeah, it could be that. Or some old boiler that, you know, runs a chip shop.
Yeah, that's the one.
That you staggered into in the square,
oh,
you know.
No.
Yeah.
Please, no.
That could happen.
Oh, Nick, no.
But have you had a good 2024, was it a good one?
Have I had a good 2024? I would say personally, yes.
Right.
As taken all things equal. You know, obviously there are ups and there are downs, but my memory of 2024 is that there was some good times, a few bad times, but nothing seriously bad. If you get my drift.
Okay.
How about yourself?
Do you not think that all years are like that, though? Do you not think the scales do balance out?
I think they do, Nick, probably. Yeah, you know? I reckon they do. You know, I can think back to certain years, which I'm just so dead pleased that they've gone.
Yeah.
You know, certain events and so on. But not 2024 for me, you know. Funny memories, you know, like put another book out there.
Yep.
Plug.
Yeah.
Available in all good bookstores, you know.
Indeed. Yeah. What book would that be, Chris?
That was my book called The Teacher's Tale.
Oh, right, yeah, that was
Have
the last
a drink,
one you did.
Have a Smoke, A Teacher's Tale
yeah.
is its title. And, yeah, it's apparently, I looked online the other day and it said, hurry, only 2 copies left.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought that means they've only got 2 copies.
So you got on your bike down the shop to get them.
And get them,
yeah.
So I've done that, yeah. So that was because I was getting a full sense of achievement.
Totally.
It's
a big gig,
it?
Man, isn't
yeah,
it? It's well, a big gig to have something published. Yeah. I mean, you know, you shouldn't underplay it.
Well,
it's
self-published, but...
It's still a giant step.
Giant step for mankind.
Yeah, indeed.
Or for Chris Kind. Well, for Chris Kind, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and I had a good summer holiday, although it was freezing cold last year, that was.
Yeah.
We went for a holiday in late May, early June.
Right.
Your neck of the woods, I think it was down Norfolk or somewhere.
Yeah.
Can't remember, nice cottage.
Yeah.
Freezing cold, we had the heating on, because it was so cold, Nick.
Tell you, man, I think if you're talking cold... Yeah, that's been quite prevalent, I think, over the past 12 months. I think it's been a lot of cold.
It was as cold as the coldest day in Coldland, Coldfordshire.
In the history of cold?
In the history of cold.
Right.
And beyond.
Really?
Yeah.
Beyond the history of
beyond
cold?
Beyond the history of cold, etc.
Right, that's bloody cold.
I could keep that superlative going, but I won't.
No.
But I do like the word superlative.
That's very cold's not a bad word either.
No, cold is nice. It's got a certain feel about
it,
doesn't it? Yeah.
And that is cold.
That is onomatopoeic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Do I agree with that?
When you do. When a word sounds like what it's describing, So cold.
Right.
It does feel like cold, doesn't it?
What would be fucking cold, then?
Well, I wouldn't like to say.
Oh.
But yeah, it's when a word sounds like the sound a bee makes when it flies. Buzz. Bzzz, bzzz. Sound.
Now,
it sounds.
Now.
Yes. You're going to tell me it don't make that sound.
No. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Go on.
Are we into the world of phonics?
Oh, well, that's interesting you should say. It's not quite phonics, but it's on that plane, isn't it? Phonics is a specific noise.
Right.
It's very hard to explain. If I had that in front of an English class and they say, "Sir, what's the difference between onomatopoeias and phonics?" I'd be in a bit of trouble.
Right.
It's difficult to explain it, really.
What I'd like to know is, where did phonics come from, when and why? Because, you know, all those questions...
phonics, where did it come from?
You know, it's now obviously big time in the curriculum.
Yeah.
But, you know, why did we have experience of this?
Why didn't we?
Yeah.
I think it's a phase of education that we went through.
Right.
I'm just trying to say, I think the time we went, this is a big generalisation, but the emphasis wasn't on that, what you wrote. It was the idea you're trying to express. So things like grammar, punctuation, all those formal things,
yeah,
they were secondary to actually getting an idea down. You see what I mean?
Right.
So you could have an idea that you just write a load of gibberish. But if you're actually expressing something, that was what you were looking to achieve.
Right,
an expression.
Okay.
So grammar is an incredibly difficult subject. You know, past tense, future tense, all that type of thing. Mm. Nouns, pronouns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, drives me mad.
No, I'm well out of my depth with all that.
Yeah, and use of apostrophes and possessive apostrophes and that type of thing.
Bloody hell, man. No. I haven't even heard half of that stuff, let alone understand it.
Well, you probably like, here's a lesson, children. Even if you're not back to school yet, if you put down the word there, T-H-E-R-E,
yeah,
how else can you work that, write that? So that sound, and this is getting into phonics, you can put there, T-H-E-I-R, which is the possessive.
Right.
So there means like over there. There, E-I-R, means belongs to them.
Right.
Another there is this one. T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E, which means they are.
Right, okay.
So with the sound there, you've got three different meanings.
Okay.
Now that's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
You think about that.
Yeah.
That means it completely mess up the perspective of what you're trying to say. So if you wrote, I don't know, a sentence where you wanted to show possession, like there, and you put the other there in, spelt incorrectly,
yeah,
it makes a nonsense of the sentence. So the people say, well, forget about that. Let's just get the idea. It's not worry about that and that. Let's just get the ideas, what they're trying to say.
Right, okay.
As we communicate.
Right. Talking about that language,
yes.
I mean, yeah, I know we've spoken on previous shows about me doing this show in Rome. Mm. There's a big exhibition that I've got running in the spring. All organised by, managed and organised by my Italian PA, Raffaele Clemente. And since then, I've been trying to learn bits of Italian.
Have you?
I thought it's right.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing ruder than tipping up in anywhere and expecting them to talk bloody English.
Well, this is what the English tend to do.
They do. Yes, they do.
I'm entirely with you. Like the times I've been to France.
Yeah.
I've tried to speak very basic French. You know, my O-level French. That's the limit. But at least they see you having a go at
it. Oh, totally.
And I think they respect you for it.
I think it's a real kind of string to the bow to be able to talk other languages.
Let's have some Italian words, Nick.
Well, to be honest, apart from ciao.
Ciao.
I can't really remember that many.
Ciao, that means goodbye, is it? Or hello?
It also means hello.
Hello.
They use it, that word is both ways.
Hello, goodbye.
Yeah.
Beatles.
Yeah.
So their song could have been ciao.
It could be.
Wow.
Or ciao, ciao, as ciao, I like to say.
Ciao, 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 ciao.
But it's really good. I love listening to Raffi speak it.
Yeah.
You know, when you kind of have conversations with her and she's in places or whatever, you know, and they interact and they talk, she's talking to somebody else or whatever. And it's such a fast language, but bugger me.
It is fast, isn't it? Yeah.
I find it very difficult to learn it.
Mm.
Very difficult to learn it. It is a difficult one. You know, so, but I'm hoping that I can kind of master just a few phrases by the time I go there in the spring. But it just as we're on the subject of languages and speaking, I thought I'd throw that in.
Well, I think it's very interesting of you.
I mean.
And did you know what the easiest language is to learn?
No.
Latin.
Is it really?
Because it's completely logical. Completely. You know, the way the structures are made up, the verbs, the sentences, everything.
Right.
If you can grasp the basics of Latin, you're away.
Are you really?
Yeah, yeah. French is extremely difficult. English is one of the most difficult languages in the
world.
Yeah,
well, fuck me, that's difficult for the English, doesn't it?
Difficult, that's right.
Hey, you know what I mean?
I do.
You know, any language that spells Philip with a P, what is that about?
I know. It's phonics again, you see, because that PH, F, is the same as an F.
Yeah, it's...
Which, you know, this is why some people say the phonetics teaching is incorrect, because... Why is it spelled PH or with an F? How can it make the same sound? But
it does.
It does. You know, nonsense. But there you go. I'm not a teacher anymore.
No.
Thank God. Oh, I am so pleased, Nick, to have exited the
profession. I know, you're not a fan, are you?
No, no.
Of teaching anymore.
I'm a fan of
making podcasts.
Oh, I'm a fan of the podcasts. Yeah, I like all that, Nick. Anyway, Christmas was good for you, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was different.
Yeah,
different, odd.
Yeah,
different, odd.
Different, odd.
Not bad, odd.
No, different.
Different, odd.
Yeah,
you know, if that makes any sense.
It does.
Looking forward to 25.
Yeah.
I've got to say.
Yeah.
Obviously, because of the Rome show, you know, that's very imminent, as the end of March.
Yeah.
So there's still quite a lot to do on that score. I've got a couple of film. Projects going on this year as well. I'm also still starring in Diamond Dogs, which the filming of that kicks off about a week's time, I think it is, mid-January.
Crikey.
Mm.
And where is that going to be shown?
That'll be it'll be Netflix, Amazon Prime.
Oh, right.
That's where it'll start.
Yeah.
With the eventual aim, of course, general release. But whether we'll manage that...
Well, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
When I say whether we manage it, I'm not even managing it. I'm only in the lead role, you know.
You're the star of the show, man.
Well, it could be said, alongside Andy Blythe, who is my co-star.
Yeah.
But it's not my production. It's nothing technically to do with me. I just tip up, you know, if asked for advice, give it. But most of the time, just tip up, you know, lay around a lot, do me bits and get out.
But there's more to it than that, Nick, because as you've often said on these podcasts, you're dyslexic. So,
yeah.
So how do you manage with a script?
I don't.
So
I don't.
How do the producers of it manage to get you to say what they want you to say?
Well, I suppose it's quite a novel way, and I suppose it's pretty much what I've devised myself, really, because... When I was approached to do the role, I said, whoa, hang on a minute. You know, I'm dyslexic. I can't read a script. I can read a script, but it may not be what you wrote.
No, I said.
You know?
Yeah.
So we kind of devised this plan that each scene is introduced to me as this is what we want to show. Two guys meet in a pub. You know, for argument's sake, hypothetically. And you talk about robbing a train. And so that is the story that they want to depict. And then I literally play it as me. So if I was to meet somebody in a pub and we talk about robbing a train, I literally play that role.
Right, so it's an ad lib, but with a structure in place.
It's a structure in my head, put it that way.
Yeah.
The co-star or the other cast may well stick quite close to the script.
So does that cause any problems then? If they're sticking close to a script and you're not?
Sometimes it does because similar to these podcasts, we go off on a tangent.
Yeah.
You know, for argument's sake, and certainly the kind of style of my speech, of my language, is most definitely different from the average camper. It helps if they know that.
Yeah.
But I did explain all this before I actually took the role.
Hmm.
You know, and said, well, look, this is how I would say. Two geezers meet in a pub, we have a tizer. Hmm. You know, we'll do a blag on a fucking train.
Hmm.
That would be me saying that.
Yeah.
But the script isn't written like that. You know.
I reckon they would, I don't know how they do it, but if it was me, I'd have the script, Nick in the side bit there, blank, 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 blank.
Well, that's that's pretty much how it is.
And then the next character scripted, you know.
Yeah, that is pretty much how it is, Chris, really. I mean, there are lines and they'll stipulate, you know, certainly in some of the scenes that we shot, last year, you know, we must say that word.
Yeah.
We must say that word,
yeah.
You know, and that word.
Triggers.
Yeah.
Sort of trigger words, yeah.
So they want certain parts in.
Yes.
And then I say, well, okay, I'll play it like this.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure I get that word in.
Yeah.
You know, so that's literally how I did it. But I made that clear to them before I even took the role.
Right.
And I said, you know, and they, well, the bottom line was, the part was written for me. The film was written around Two Go Mad in Norfolk, which a guy called Chris Smith, who's the co-writer on the film and director and producer of Diamond Dogs, he'd spent some time while we were doing Two Go Mad in Norfolk. And that's where he got the idea and the concept came from our shows. And then he said, I just want you to play yourself. I said, I can do that.
Yeah.
That's no problem at all.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow. I look forward to this, Nick.
Yeah.
It's going to be something quite interesting.
It's good. It is good. Mm. I mean, we shoot the actual blag and that in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah.
Which will be interesting.
Yeah.
It's a diamond heist. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And we eventually get all the crew back to, back together. They're not actually back together because we're only just starting to put it together.
Mm.
But there's seven people that are elite at what they do. Mm. And we recruit these people to do this diamond blag. Mm. So that's basically the story. But that's how I do it. It's not a conventional way. It's not. Most of the time, Chris, I don't even learn any lines at all.
No.
You know, and it's a standing joke on set because it learnt your lines.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah. I've been working on them for weeks, you know. I print all this shit off. Yeah. I don't read it.
No, no.
Not at all.
Well, that's all right.
I just need to know what the plot is.
You've got
to
have the plot. You've got to have an idea of where the conversation is going. Yeah. And if you respond accordingly, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Oh, that's coming up, isn't it? That's going to be great.
It is. Yeah. I think they're kind of saying that it's going to be finished. We'll say filming around about August time. That's the kind of plan, I think.
Yeah.
There's still lots to do.
Mm.
But it's been a real blast. It's a real giggle.
Good.
You know, and it's gone really well.
And if you look back, Nick, on 2024, then. Any particular highs or lows? Or
the most kind of notable high was getting the Rome show without a shadow of a doubt. But I think that actually came through. I'm going to say early summer, something like that, or probably spring, kind of early summer, which is something that I've wanted to do. I wanted to show in Italy for a long, long time. I think it's for me, and I think it is. The art centre of the world.
Well, it is, isn't it?
You know?
Yeah.
And I think their kind of understanding of culture and art and various different mediums, unlike here, which is a very fixed idea.
Mm.
You know, I think they're a lot more looser over there. It's a far more passionate, romantic country.
It is that, isn't it? You can tell. Question is, Nick, is Italy ready for Nick Elliott?
That's a good question.
Hmm.
That'll be
that's
a giggle.
Why I asked it.
Yeah, it'll be a giggle. We're taking a crew out there actually, and we're making a lot more of it. We're going to document the whole show.
Yeah,
because it's going to be a big gig. There's a lot of interviews. BBC, TV, radio and stuff, you know, Italian equivalents, and all that kind of stuff. And it'll be a riot giggle.
Yeah.
We're going to actually shoot a Two Go Mad in Italy.
Yeah.
Out there.
Wow.
Which will be quite a nice little touch.
It will, yeah.
You know, so I've always wanted to go, never been to Italy. You know, a fantastic fan of the cars, clearly.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Maserati, Ferrari, Lamborghini.
Fiats.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. Well, they own most of what I've just said, actually, despite the fact that they're a bit of a laughing stock, but they do.
It was one of my favourite cars that I owned.
Did you have a Fiat?
I had a Fiat Seicento.
Did you really?
Delightful little car.
Christ almighty. Yeah, I couldn't have got in that because I've been reading what it was.
Well, this
was that long.
I know. But this, when we had the floods here, many, many years ago, I had the Fiat Seicento.
Yeah.
And that car drove through the floods.
Did it really?
It kept going. People's cars left, right, and centre were breaking down. My little Fiat Centre, all right, it got wet in the inside.
Yeah.
Got loads of water.
Yeah.
It made it through.
Did it really?
Rock on, that car. Ever since then, I've liked Fiats. But the funniest car I've ever had, I think I've told you, a Lada.
Did you have a Lada? I didn't know that.
I had Lada, yeah. And the biggest contradiction of all was I owned the top of the range Lada.
It was the one.
Well. It was beautiful. You know, it had faux leather seats. It looked like leather. It smelt like leather.
Yeah.
Beautifully padded they were. They had a lovely padded steering wheel.
Right.
They were very comfortable. A little knob, and I'm not being rude.
Really?
Yeah, a little gear knob, you know, rather than the great big tall thing that others have. I think it's rather swish, I'm going to say.
Was it really? They don't make them anymore, do they?
Oh, no, but I don't know if they make them in Russia now, but certainly don't sell them in Britain.
No. I think they do still make them in Russia.
Oh, dear. But
I think so.
That the power steering it did not have.
No.
So you had to ask it about 10 minutes before that you're going to turn left or turn right.
Yeah.
And you begin the manoeuvre.
And it was hard work, wasn't it? It was like going to the gym on the way to the gym.
Gosh, so you felt like you'd been through a right workout driving one of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I must admit, I did have a soft spot for those. But they were Russian. Nothing to do with Italians.
No. Totally. No. Like I say, I'm a massive fan of Italians. I grew up with a lot of them. A couple of my closest friends, dearest friends, are Italians. Nobody knows how to dress like the Italians.
No, they're very flamboyant, aren't they?
Yeah,
is that the right word? Flamboyant?
Yeah.
Or perhaps they take a lot of care about their presentation.
You don't think they do?
No, I'm saying do.
Oh, yes. I think they do.
Yeah.
Their style is very important.
Yeah.
Quality of life is also very important to the Italians.
Well, how do they judge that? That's different to us, then.
Well, I mean, they don't rush around.
Right.
You know, meal times are a big thing.
Yeah.
A big thing there. It's you're kind of family orientated. You've got to be there. You sit at the table and your meals can take 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, we're here. It's a McDonald's or a Twat Donald's and throw it down your fucking neck, you know.
Yeah.
Or let's order in a pizza.
Yeah, or walk around the streets eating it.
I mean, I know that they have fast food places over there, but I certainly know from Rafi, the conversations I have with, they cook and it's all pucker stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they have markets which they go to most days and buy fresh fish, vegetables. Yeah. They're big time into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Drink, obviously.
Yes, please.
You know,
I'll have a double.
Yeah, we are. Okay. Red or white?
Oh, I'll have both. Rosé.
Okay.
Yeah.
They like their wine.
Whispering Angel.
Ooh. What's that?
Nice wine.
Oh, is it?
Mm.
Okay. I wouldn't know. I don't like wine at all.
Don't you?
No, I don't drink wine, so I don't know.
All right.
But they do.
Yes.
You know, it's breakfast, dinner, tea,
kind of gig. Wine for breakfast?
I think they do. Oh, yeah.
Golly.
You know,
no wonder they take things slowly, Nick.
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for it, though, Chris.
Yeah, but they must have regular jobs, some of these.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah. But I think their attitude to life is a lot different to
and
here.
A lot healthier.
Yes,
as well.
Lot different to here.
Yeah,
you know, and it's hang on a minute, we don't need to rush around.
No,
No,
that's a British disease.
Oh, fucking right,
or
it
an
is.
English disease in particular.
And none of these Tonks know what they're rushing around for anyway, do they?
Nobody knows.
And you still don't get anything done.
No, that's right.
It's a nonsense. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
I'll bet.
Very much looking forward. It'll be a giggle. And like I said, we're going out there for 2.5 weeks. It'll be a right blast.
Cool. That's incredible.
You know, so that's how I'm kicking off my 25.
Yeah.
And that was definitely the highlight of 24.
Right, right. So in a way, that is your, and I've been waiting all podcasts for this, that was your Andrew Preview.
Mr. Preview.
Mr. Preview.
It could be.
But were you playing all the right notes?
Not necessarily in the right order.
Oh, I love that. I love that sketch. I really do. Yeah. Oh, it's all good stuff, Nick. It's
what about you? What are you looking for?
Do you make New Year's resolutions? No, resolutions.
No.
Or resolutions?
No.
You don't make them?
No.
Do you? Do I or don't I? Good question. I don't think so, Nick.
Is that something people do anymore? I know it used to be a big gig.
It did. You used to sit down and you say, right, let's put down what we're going to do this year.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I can make a resolution about, really.
Well, one of the famous ones is let's go join a gym and lose the weight that we put on over Christmas.
Yeah, but then...
So they join on the Monday, leave on the Friday.
Yeah. Or not one that applies to me, but I'm going to give up smoking.
Oh, yeah, well, that
lasts a couple of days, perhaps.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you wait till January to do that?
Exactly. You know, totally arbitrary.
You could have done it at the end of January the year before.
Yeah, that's right. No, I think it's just an old traditional thing. So if you've got to make them vague.
Vague?
Well, vague and unclear. I should be better in every way.
Yeah, that covers it off.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, you
can't really sort of get rid of that, can you? That's a good one to make, I reckon.
What are you looking forward to in 25? Anything? Nothing?
What am I looking forward to, Nick? Well, more of these to start with.
Oh, definitely. These will still be coming thick and fast.
I'll tell you what. I get such a laugh out of doing these.
It's great fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tremendous fun. So I'm looking forward to that.
I do hope everybody, actually, on that note,
we do,
both of us jointly, Chris and myself, hope that you really enjoy them as much as we do doing them.
Oh, I should say so, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's probably easier listening to them than it is to actually do them, isn't it?
What's it you said earlier? You said something like this. You said something like, we're very good at doing these.
I think we are very good at doing them, but whether it's very good to be listening to.
And I thought, wow, what a statement.
You know.
Yeah, we do hope somebody out there likes these things.
Oh, Chris, I think, you know, due to the download figures, I think they're very popular.
That's good.
They're very popular. And that's not kind of blowing our own trumpet or that shit.
You can do it. Why not?
You know, it's done. It's done light. It's a bit of it. We think it's good humour.
Well, we do it. We do it with humour. Yeah. Mostly, we have touched on difficult topics.
Yeah. We go deep with the shit, don't we?
We do.
And I mean, none of it's scripted. It's literally. We sit down, we plug in, and we talk. That's it. And what we actually talk about what is recorded is what goes out.
Exactly right. Nothing different. But as I say, we do the serious stuff, and I think we do that with due respect. You know, we've had discussions about all sorts of things, haven't we?
Yeah,
concepts we have. Of God and
death.
Death.
Marriages. Yeah, which I've had two.
Well, which I've had one. But all that type of thing, you know, and problems that affect us and things like that. But... I think we have this perspective on life, which, like Monty Python said, always look on the bright side of life. Do-dum.
Yeah.
Do-dum, do-dum, do-dum.
I think you could be right there.
Yeah.
I think you could be right there.
So 2025 for me, I look forward to it, Nick.
Right.
Yeah, I can't put my finger on why, particularly, but on what I just said about the podcast.
Of course.
I will continue to do my writing, because that's a thrill I get.
Yeah.
I will continue to do... a lot of reading. I do a lot of reading, philosophical reading,
yeah.
You know, and politics is one of my interests.
Yeah, I know you're big time into that, ain't you?
Yeah, so...
Which is just as well when you're in a larry country like this fucker where nobody knows what they're doing,
right.
You know, so...
Oh, dear. Well, I was watching today, as I always do, it's a couple of weeks ago, but I can remember watching, it was before Christmas, a Prime Minister's question session.
Oh, right.
It goes out on a Wednesday, midday, on BBC Two, and they just to and fro with the questions.
Okay.
And I suddenly had this image in my head that all the MPs who were sat there were monkeys. not humans, so monkeys.
Are you sure that was a vision and not a fact?
Well, you say that. And then I realised there is a painting out there somewhere. Somebody's drawn the House of Commons in session where it is apes and monkeys.
Really?
In situ rather than humans because of the way they're behaving. I thought...
That's probably somebody who's joined Reform.
Yeah, I mustn't say anything about that, must
okay.
I?
Okay. No, but I'm a fan, actually.
You said you're a fan.
I am. Big fan of Nige.
Yeah.
Yeah, big fan of Nige.
Yeah.
It could be quite entertaining to have him on here, wouldn't it?
Well, it would. If you can get him on, Nick, bring him on.
It'd be a nice idea.
Mm.
You should probably look at that.
Mm. Well, yeah, I'll leave it on to you, Nick.
Yeah, yeah. All right, yeah.
The only reason I'm being cagey on that is because you know I stood in the...
Yes. The Boston yeah.
I stood for the Green Party. Vote Green, everyone. Vote Green. Morning. No, vote Green. Anyway, I was up against Mr. Tice, Richard Tice, of UKIP, of Reform.
Okay, that's who they are.
And he won for Boston. There's only four of them.
Yeah.
So we got him. Then he beat the Conservatives. Then came third Labour. Then came fourth moi, out of seven.
Oh, I know.
And I thought, that's quite a good little achievement.
It is good.
In actual fact, yeah. And I think that's the way politics is going to go, green.
Do you think that's got anything to do with the fact that you went round several streets in Boston with the sandwich board nude?
I hope to think not. It was.
Don't you think?
It was a publicity stunt, Nick.
I know.
Yeah.
Don't you think that kind of swung the female vote?
It didn't impress anyone.
No?
In fact, I was told to stop it.
Were you really?
Yeah. They said there's nothing there. So in you go.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're up against trade descriptions.
Ah.
You know. So
got it. Yeah,
I couldn't be doing with that, Nick.
Yeah, false statements in advertising.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I'm there, man.
But hey, that was fun. That was a highlight. I don't think there are any political elections coming up this year as such.
No.
Apart from the mayorship of Lincolnshire, which might come up, I think. But I'm not standing for that. I can't see me in a great big robe and...
No, all them chains. And,
all the chains.
No.
No, not really.
And but, sticks and shit that they bang on doors.
Yeah, no. Not my kettle of fish, Nick.
No, not at all. Plus the fact we've got to mention that the great Lewis joins Ferrari this year.
Yes, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He does. That'd be interesting. See how that works out.
Brilliant. Mm.
Wow, I don't know. So 2025 looks good.
Yeah, I think it. I mean, as long as for me, Chris, as long as I continue to move the line creatively.
Yeah, that's the name of the game.
That's the thing for me. You know, if I get to this kind of time in 26, and I think, you know, have I moved the line? Have I pushed it further? Have I been more creative, more adventurous, more experimental with what I do, my work?
Yeah.
I would have ticked the boxes, yeah. I think.
Creativity is the key, I think. You know, to be able to do something that you think adds something else to someone somewhere.
Yeah.
However small that contribution is.
Or moves them. You know, I think I would have to put that in there.
Yeah. You know, if you've done something of that, you've achieved.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's what I hope for 2025.
Have you got any new books planned?
I haven't got one on the burner at the moment. The one that I'm having a bit of trouble with, Nick, to get it going properly, are my memoirs. Now, I'm not. I use the word memoirs loosely.
Really, you're doing that?
It's my life story.
Fantastic.
You know? Well, it is, but the bottom line I keep asking myself is, who wants to read this? Nobody, really.
That's no reason not to do it.
But I've made a start on it, and I've done about four chapters, and it's 20,000 words already.
Right.
Now, if you think an average book is 100,000 words,
right,
and I've got about another 30 chapters to cover,
okay,
it's going to be a monster tone. So somehow I've got to tone it back in what I say.
Yeah. You know?
So I've got to think about what do I.
That's very difficult.
Yeah, it is.
Extremely difficult. Yeah. That's like being asked to pick your very top 10 singles or albums of all time, and you can't change them.
Yeah, it's like what do I tell people about myself, and what don't I? You know, the way I look at a book of that project, it's going to be something that somebody in my family further down the line can pick up and say, oh, this was this bloke called Chris.
Right.
This was our granddad or whatever. and be like that. It's that sort of project, really.
So where have you started in your life? Where?
Well, you believe this or not, I started it pre-birth.
Have you really?
Now, I know this sounds absolutely nuts, and people are going to say, oh, he's talking his rubbish again. I have an image or a memory of being born.
No, I know. We've had this conversation before, haven't we?
And I've looked it up online, and it is a phenomena.
Is it really?
It is a phenomena. It might be people just making an association out of something.
Yeah.
But I do have a memory of, I think, being born.
So that's where you started it?
That's where I started it.
Christ, that must make the whole process difficult.
What it...
Or more difficult, should I say.
It makes it difficult because people are going to be saying, uh-oh, it's one of those books. It's going to be a nut job writing. So then I try and bring it back down to normality. So for the first 3 years of my life, I lived with my mum and dad in a little terraced house in South Croydon, and I retailed the memories I have there.
Right.
Of which are strange. Like a butcher's down the bottom of the road for some reason. Just someone remember it.
Okay.
I remember there was a cottage up the other end of the road with a strange old lady in there.
Right.
Who she was, I don't know. And other strange memories of that time, like our loo was in the kitchen. Always remember that.
Really?
Yeah. It's an old-fashioned terrace, you know. There's no heating there.
No.
I can remember my daddy used to take a jug of water up with him at night, and it would ice over.
Yeah.
And you got ice on the inside of the windows.
Yeah.
So it's memories like that.
Hmm.
And I suppose they really, really start at the age of three when we moved down from South Croydon down to Tunbridge, where basically I call that my hometown.
Okay.
And it's there, and I'm basically I've gone through my infant days, which brought back quite a few nasty, sad memories, actually.
Really?
Yeah, when I was thinking hard about it, I was the victim. I used to imagine myself as the victim of the class. So if ever the teacher told us the class off, like, stop doing that, you naughty children, it was me who took it on board, and I would cry on behalf of everybody.
Oh, okay, did
so
you?
So much so that they would have to send me home.
Right,
and then the teacher had to come round at the end of the day and say, we weren't talking about you, Christopher.
Oh, that's very interesting.
It's weird, isn't it? And so I'm about there, but mapping the whole thing future forward.
So you're at the stage, how old are you?
I'd be about five or six, something like that.
Of where you now are with the book?
That's where I'm at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. The next phase is going to be tricky because I went through a monumental personality change, I believe, at round about that time.
Okay.
Because I was this quiet, shy, little, very sensitive boy.
Yeah.
And from the junior days on, I suddenly transformed like a butterfly.
Did you really?
Into an extremely extrovert, joker of the class type personality.
Right.
Who was extremely popular with the girls.
Right.
And that was my junior schools. So I've got to try and work that transition out.
So there are benefits to having a split personality?
I think so. Yes. Jekyll and Hyde and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It is.
Then another change in secondary school. You know, so it all ends up as I am now. So this is where I'm going to have to tread very carefully with it.
I think, for me, that would be a really interesting read.
Yeah, well,
I'd love that.
Yeah.
I'd love that. Because, I mean, we've been friends for a long time, haven't we?
We have, Nick, yeah.
I don't know how long.
It's at least 10 years, at least.
It's a bit more, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bit more. And, I mean, obviously, we know quite a bit about each other, but I didn't know a lot of the things that you've told me over the time we've done these podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know, fully enough, something that I'm looking at getting finished this year is my biography, which has been in the works. And for the past, pre-COVID.
Mm.
Yeah, pre-COVID, I think we probably spent 2 years or a year, 18 months, prior to COVID that we started it. Mm. It kind of moves along at a rate and then stops again
because of time
and all this kind of shit.
So do you have a ghostwriter?
Annie Brooks.
Oh, Annie's doing it.
Yeah, my PA. Yeah, she's writing that.
Yeah.
And literally we just do it, you know, we have meetings and we do a lot of them on Zoom now.
Mm.
And I sits there and she just asks questions about certain periods from where we left off.
Mm.
And then I just narrate the whole thing.
Great.
You know, it's then recorded. She transcribes it to end up in a book. Volume of it is also a problem that I have, because it's a big story.
Yeah.
You know, and you think, well, Christ, what are you going to do? Put this into a trilogy of books, or, you know, do it turn out to be in a bit of a Britannia encyclopedia vibe? You know, 24 books.
I think there's a limit to what you can put out there to maintain somebody's interest.
But also, I think for me, it's important to document it.
Yes.
Whether it ends up as into a book, into the into that medium, I don't know. But I think it's important to document it.
Yeah, for the, largely for the same reasons that I've said.
Yeah.
It's a memory.
Oh,
it's,
totally.
It's a written record of Nick Elliott.
And why you were here.
And why you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's the reason. That's a good motivation for me, Nick, to get on with mine.
Well, I think it is. I mean, like I said a few minutes ago when you said, well, does anybody want to read this? Yeah, I'd fucking read it.
Well,
there's no two ways about it.
And I'd read, the thing is, here I'm set next to a world-famous rock photographer, which you are, because of all your published work out there. You are. You're well-known. But there's no airs and graces about you at all, Nick. You're just like the average guy, you know, fantastic. Me.
That's lovely to you to say that, Chris.
That's perfectly right. Me, I'm the ex-teacher who happened to like a bit of radio work.
Yeah, but that's not the case, is it? Because I mean, if although you kind of despise the whole teaching thing and you don't look back at it with fondness.
No.
Right. But somewhere along that line, you changed somebody's life.
Well, yeah. And let's get it right. I did go into the profession to do good. And when I went in, what was I, 22, 1979.
Right.
I went in and I was going to change the world, Nick.
Yeah, but I think...
what most teachers say.
I think probably you have, though, Chris.
Oh, well, that's nice.
And you're not aware of that. You know, let's say for argument's sake, not that I can stand the bloody bloke, but let's say for argument's sake, somebody like Alan Sugar, if you taught Alan Sugar, you know, of where he is now, you have influenced that process of his life.
Yeah.
Somewhere down the line. So I think certainly the experiences I've had, and I'll mention this guy again, Tim Rayner, Stangrain Comprehensive School, was such a massive influence on how and why I do what I am now. And what I do now, and encourage that process.
Yeah.
So I think teachers do tend to underplay their roles.
I think, yeah, you probably are correct in that. You probably are.
You know.
But then I try thinking of that when you're sat in front of a class on a wet Wednesday afternoon who don't want to know.
Oh, totally.
The teachers don't want to know.
Totally.
Then you get the parents moaning about this, that and the other, and you've got no support from the head teacher, you know,
But
soul destroying.
But again, I think, you know, that there would have been at some point in all those students that kind of passed through the system, you know, you hope that there was one like that turned out to be like me that recognised, hang on a minute, it was Chris Moore that made me do this.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I suppose things started to change, Nick, when I was in the middle of my teaching career. And we, as teachers, we had to take self-defence classes.
Really?
I remember this on a training day. And I was just reflecting on that. I thought, why does a teacher need to take self-defence classes?
Goodness me. Okay.
And at that
point,
I started thinking about it. I thought,
No,
this is not the gig I signed up for, thank you very much.
No, I totally agree with that.
But hey, that's me. That's just me.
But I still think, I think you shouldn't play down the role, Chris. Not at all.
Okay.
You know, I think you've left a mark. You possibly will never ever know it.
Well,
but,
yeah.
You know, I can guarantee that somewhere down the line you have.
Well, that's also very reassuring, Nick.
I think that's for real.
Well,
I'll tell you what,
we both make a resolution then for this year. We're going to get on with our biographies.
Yes, we are.
There we are.
That's a good plan.
That's a resolution.
And look forward to, you can have mine and
we'll
I can have yours. Yeah, yeah. Because no fucker else will be interested in them.
I'll sign mine, you sign yours.
That's pretty good, don't you think?
I think we've
got
a deal.
Yeah, we sit in the bookshop and just, you know.
Can you imagine it? In Waterstones, other bookshops are available. That's anyway, Nick Elliott, next to that, Chris Moore.
Yeah.
And it would be under the autobiography section.
That's it. We just get up from behind the desk, walk round to the front of the other desk, Yeah. And pretty close. Do you think you could sign this book for me?
Well, we could have one of those signing sessions.
That's it.
You know, I wouldn't get as much money as you get for yours.
It wouldn't last long, though, would it?
No.
If we were just signing each other's. Yeah.
Can you imagine the embarrassment as I did this big announcement? There was nobody turned up.
Yeah, well, fucking hell. Yeah, that would be a bit of a bark, wouldn't it?
Oh, that'd be awful, wouldn't it?
But then, you know, it's always good to, you know, kind of prop shit up with an old book. Isn't it?
They make good doorstops.
Indeed. You know, and fill them baskets just outside shops where
that's
it says $2.99.
Yeah, the bargain bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Reduced down to.
Yeah.
Yeah, jack shit, basically. We want to give this fucking thing away.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. We'll pay you to take it
away. Yeah, totally. Yeah, clean the basket on the way out.
That's the one, yeah. Oh, there we are.
Well, I think, you know, that's probably summarised our last year's, don't you think?
On that note, as they say.
On that snot.
Weed.
You know, and so I think probably we're going to leave you for now.
It's a wrap.
It is a wrap.
That's what they say.
Yes,
it
is. Mm. It is a wrap. We're going to say goodnight.
We are.
Because it is night. Ugh. It's still bloody dark.
Oh, I know. Soon be summer.
Well, spring.
Days are getting longer already as we speak.
Shorter.
Longer. Days are getting longer now.
Oh, days are. Oh, got it. Yeah. Cool. The dark's not around. Got it.
Not by much. It's in the right direction.
Yeah, it's going in the right way. So. That's it. We'd like to thank you very much for the time that you spend listening to this.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully you really, really enjoy it. Like I say, as much as we do, I know it's a cliche, but as much as we do doing them, because it is a fucking blast, it really is good fun. It really is.
You quite like it, you mean?
I do. It's orgasmic, isn't it? It is. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. It's on the way.
Yeah. So please do keep listening and join us in 2005 for another bag of nonsense.
I'll do that. Don't you worry, I'll do that. Mm.
I've been Nick Elliott, rock art photographer.
I've been Chris Moore, ex-teacher.
And we'd like to say goodnight and you stay safe.
Good night and you stay safe.
Look forward to seeing you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
That was a nice one.